You're listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real-life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
Siobhan, I want to, you know, wholeheartedly welcome you to the Hooked on Startups podcast, which is apparently where we are today.
Yeah, we're hooked on it.
Who'd have thought? And I love your, behind you looks like a Ming Dynasty Chinese wardrobe. Is that a...
It's a Chinese wardrobe for sure, yeah. Somebody, one of my decorator friends said, hey, this woman's having the sale, you need to buy this. I said, okay.
But they're great. They're sort of, you know, pretty chunky. So, but you... Yeah. You are not the average run-of-the-mill interviewee guest, are you? You are.
No, I don't run-of-the-mill much.
There's nothing worse than sort of reading these sort of bios. But, you know, tell me a little bit about, you know, what you're working on. I hate to use the expression. Sure. So Siobhan, what do you do? We're not going to use that.
Thanks.
You know, we're going to say, you know, tell us what is
the magic that you bring. On? So I'll give you an example of a non-typical client because I don't have typical clients. So my clients are, they've had some sort of experience in their life or their world that has woken them up to the old way of business does not mesh with who they are. They don't like selling that way. They don't like dealing with money that way. They don't like dealing with conversations that way. And so they know that there is kind of more of an elevated, you know, people use the word frequency or flow state, you know, people are using that lately, to doing business and being more intuitive and really getting their business thriving and growing from, you know, an idea or, you know, very little sales to many, many sales. And the gal that I just worked with earlier today, she has a about a year new Airbnb cluster of cabins out in Austin. And she's never done this before. And she was very much undercharging and was doing it all herself and, you know, trying to do it with family and friends and all of these different ways. And so we've helped her, you know, create the idea of how you brand it and how you converse and hire and, you know, metrics, even though she's helped other companies. As an employee, she went out on her own and the metrics just didn't seem to make sense. So we taught her how to have metrics that make sense for her and how to have the customer experience be so over the top that people, you know, people would pay whatever. And so we've had her raise her prices and now she's, you know, she's booked like 70% of the time from nothing. So, you know, startups.
Fantastic. But lots of things going on there. So you're talking about lots of different moving parts. So you've got metrics, which is one thing. You've got pricing strategies. You've got, you know, her approach. So in other words, the, you know, and the way she markets it. So there's a marketing and positioning element. So lots of different skill sets there. And, but I think I remember reading your approach is very different than, you know, many other companies. So if you look at a typical marketing company or a typical, you know, agency that would help position a company, your approach is very different. How would you
look from the perspective of energy? So energy, people have an energy inside of them and they have an energy of abundance or lack of abundance, or they have a different energy that they put in to who they are as a person. And generally, these things are separate. So the business is one thing, and then the human and the energy are separate. Well, the way I teach and the way I take my entrepreneur clients through is the success of the entrepreneur is based upon the health, the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the relational, the financial alignment. So that what can happen is those energies kind of line up just like a clock striking 12. And then what happens is those flow states start to organically occur, being able to price differently, being able to look at metrics without freaking out differently, being able to identify more heart-centered marketing where it's not the same as everyone else. And so it's really connecting the entrepreneur to their soul and their essence.
yep.
and their energy, and helping them take that and apply that to every facet of their body, their brain, their business, their relationships, etc.
So if we take pricing as a key example, so what you're saying, I'm paraphrasing, but if someone fixes a price, a lot of that is based in your experience on a lack of a scientific approach. It can be based on what they feel their product or service is worth, which in many respects can be a reflection on what they think they themselves are worth. So in your example of the Airbnb host, if she or he is underpricing, that could be a reflection of what they feel about themselves, and they're then articulating that in the price. And what you're saying is that you can help get them to see things from a different perspective, which will allow them to see more value in themselves, which gives them more confidence to be able to sell their product at a higher price.
Mm-hmm. But it's also understanding. So when people have had some sort of wake up from the corporate mindset, generally it's, oh my God, everything should change. The whole way of business should change. This happens with invariably everyone. And so they underprice and they overdeliver. And you can overdeliver and still price properly.
Yes.
And they have to learn that just because their heart's more in it, and it isn't about anything other than what are you over delivering to, and are you being diminished because you're underpricing? So there's a beautiful saying in the Native American tradition, and it's meant for healing, but it's the same process that I think about for pricing and for energy in a business. So you don't charge enough, the healer suffers. You charge too much, the healer suffers. You charge just the right, and everybody, it's a win-win-win, and the nature of the cycle continues again and again and again.
I think, didn't the three bears have something to do with porridge and the same idea?
Like, yes. Just the right
thing. Yeah, there you go. Native American Indian or three bears.
There you go.
Take your pick. And I think pricing is just one part. So, and are your clients primarily entrepreneurs, small business owners, or do you
not all
also
of them.
Work with the bigger organizations as well?
Yeah, bigger ones. So we'll work with somebody who has, we've got a client who has, you know, product that's in pretty much every shelf, every supermarket around the world. And he really wanted to be able to go into deal making differently. He didn't want to go into deal making in a way of get. He wanted to be able to come with his heart wide open, to be able to really have a conversation with the person and not the opportunity. And he's made that, you know, we took him from before doing that to now every single shelf and every supermarket all over the world. And that one thing of connecting his heart and his soul with his purpose and helping him learn how to communicate that externally so somebody could hear him and he didn't sound like a lunatic was one piece.
Yes. Is it easy to fake that? Do you have to work with good people? Or, you know, if I am endemically a bad person, can I sort of be taught to somehow change my approach and change my behaviors so that
energy would still feel clunky to the person opposite of you? So it's kind of like if I weren't being truthful, there would be some sort of kind of nagging idea that was kind of just pinging at you saying something just doesn't feel right. And we've heard this in business for years and years. And it's about the energy of kind of that internal and external communication. And the energy has to be right in alignment with what you're saying, or else you will have somebody sitting opposite of you saying, I don't know, something just doesn't feel right. I'm not going to go with it.
There's a lot going on in social media right now about this concept, and it's been going on for some time actually, about this concept of vulnerability. In other words, you know, trying to create that human connection through online and digital methods, which, you know, traditionally have been pretty non-human contact. So do you think that really what you've discovered or what you're working on is something that is really just going back to basics, going back to the type of, or the way that we used to do business before we had these layers of sort of digital interaction foisted upon us? And are you teaching people to be able to work, you know, in the digital space and allow their personality to come across more effectively?
Absolutely. So when, because we're in a digital space and, you know, we're using this in Wi-Fi land, right? So that's an energy. That's one form of energy. Wi-Fi is, you can't see it, but it's happening, right? I can talk to you into a little screen and something on the other side of the world, if need be, you know, can receive this information. So the same thing happens with human to human interaction. And what has transpired from where we were at digital to be like, it was a novice and everybody just, you know, said yes. And there was a formula. Now it has to be, okay, I'm starting to get how to have that energetic interaction with my prospect or with my audience. And I'm starting to get how to communicate to them as if, you know, I'm sitting there in their living room from my own energy. And so I teach people how to do that so that they don't lose their integrity, so that they don't get out of sync with their own energy, because you can overgive and still have a depleted owner, CEO, or top management person because you don't know how to handle your own energy when you're speaking this and you're doing the push energy as opposed to having the right language set in the right order at the right time and really knowing how to make that a human to human as opposed to device to device.
So the next question is, where is the energy? And this is not me trying to, you know, ask a stupid question, although it may come across like that. Yeah. So in other words, if you've got the written word, so you don't have the benefit of video where you can pick up those nuances of, you know, people's body language. And I think that's one important thing. So body language is one thing. But then you can, the way that advertisements are written or the way that communications are written by the person who, you know, is the head of the company, does the energy sit within that? In other words, where is the energy? Because you talk about Wi-Fi. I think a lot of me talking to you, a lot of the stuff I'm doing is we're picking up body language, we're picking up signals, we're picking up things that are subconscious or subliminal. But in the written word or in other things that don't have that personal contact, where does the energy sit?
So let's just say somebody trying to think of a company that didn't do so good with their advertising recently. We'll just use Coca-Cola for an example. Okay. So they have a particular style and energy that was set from the original founders in the 1800s. And that particular style and energy and conversation is really about communicating that to being something magical that will happen for their customer once they drink this drink, because they're going to have this beautiful experience, right? And that energy is coming across emotionally, it's coming across texturally and physically. But if you look at what Einstein said, more than 98% of our world is unseen. So you harness that from truth and authenticity and knowing how to really communicate the core of the truth of the message again and again and again and again and again. Then what you have is you have that authenticity. So somebody comes in and tries to derail the Coca-Cola thing by what, Coke Zero or something. And it goes against, just the word zero goes against the energy of what Coke has communicated over the years, because that zero is kind of a negative number. Interesting?
Yep.
Right? So those kind of things can happen, but generally the energy has been carried through and down again and communicated again and again and again, that it continues on pretty seamlessly. But if somebody's just starting out, you don't know how to put that essence and that truth and the clarity of the written word with your own authenticity and not try to be somebody else. Cause you know, startups, they love to try to compare and be somebody else. And then they go off on some tangent and really stay true to the original idea. It really takes a lot for many startups and many new owners, even new in the first 10 years, to stay true to that and not say that that's boring, I should try something else, when the original idea is the thing that totally made everything blossom and flourish.
So are you sort of most effective when you come in at the early stage? So if we talk about the development of brand identities and brand messaging, is it more important that you come in the early stages when that brand is actually being created by the initial founders?
Depends. I mean, I've come in all different phases for folks, some that have already had their thing going. I'll give you an example of a client who has a frozen product that is in the retail stores. And her logo was just not sitting right with me. And I couldn't quite figure it out. And I said, I just think you need to flip it around. There's some funky energy that I'm seeing that isn't meshing with the customer who's buying it. And as soon as we had her flip it around, she said, you're a lunatic. I said, I know, but you know, trust me, I'm kind of good at this. I've done this for a long time and I make people a lot of money. So, and so she flipped it around. All of a sudden it was on shelves and it was flying off shelves. And it's just about teaching them how to see what's inside of them and not get attached to clunky ideas. Because right now, it doesn't matter if you're in the beginning, the middle, or a late stage of an organization, even an idea. It doesn't matter about the brand. It's about, okay, where does the brand or the owner or the CEO want to go or need to go? Do they need more sales? Do they need more staff? Do they need more product development? Do they need to pivot completely? And we have to, and it's going and looking and having conversation. We take people through a documented process of, okay, well, what are your beliefs about money? What are your beliefs about time? How did you grow up? And all of these things that actually show me a picture, kind of like you see the picture of me here, but show me a picture of somebody's energy and where the holes are, kind of like Swiss cheese, and say, okay, we need to let go of that person so that sales blossom and expand, or we need to have this new conversation with that person so that they can get back into the same fold of what the original idea of growth and expansion and the product is. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, no, of course. I would imagine you've had some pretty difficult conversations with some of the senior management at one point or another throughout this process.
Yeah, totally. Engineers are awesome. And I love dealing with engineers because it's about, but the engineer says this. And engineers are very heart-centered, really awesomely heart-centered, and really helping them connect to their mechanical engineer brain to the heart and really finding that language that they can say, oh, that is what I see you're trying to tell me that I need to get across, and I need to share that down to the rest of my team.
And do you find yourself butting heads with the chief marketing officer of some of the larger organizations where you're trying to steer the company in one particular direction based on the sort of feedback that you've got from the senior management that you've met compared to the marketing guy's direction that he wants to take the company? So how do you resolve that sort of conflict?
Oh gosh, I had this one CMO who, she said, well, we have two agencies that are, you know, that are pitching us. And I said, well, this one agency has a particular heart-centered and they have this really unique touch. And she said, how do you know this? I was like, listen, you worked with me long enough. Let's go down the path and see. But the CEO wanted this other kind of like stodgy, same, you know, known factor kind of friends of hers, you know, agency. Well, you know, they butt heads. And I said, stick with it. It's going to play out. It's actually going to help you win. Let's just stick with it all the way to the end. They butt heads for months and months and months on end. And I had to teach her how to butt heads with kindness and, you know, just massage that circumstance to stay with it and not cave. And she ended up with the agency that is more heart-centered, that is more touch-based, that is different than any other agency in that industry. But it's actually made a monumental difference in the sales and the strategy and the people that are coming in as customers.
And that's, you know, fascinating how those things work. But, and again, just sort of winding the clock back a little, how did you find yourself in this business? Because,
yeah, right.
You know, I mean, it's quite a challenging thing to do because you're dealing in something that's actually quite
intangible,
nebulous, difficult to sort of measure. Mm. So you're up against it when you're pitching yourself against other more established industry mechanisms. So how did you sort of find yourself doing what you're doing today?
So I'm an entrepreneur at heart. My first business at 11, sold it for a t-shirt, not a good deal. Next business was in high school and bought my car from it. And then, you know, always doing something on the side, no matter what it was. I was a computer coder as a kid. didn't understand why that was necessary. But if I think about energy and how I use this today, the coding actually helps monumentally to put blocks into place. And then I came to California, and one of the first companies I worked for out here was an entrepreneur, and there were 12 of us, and we helped grow it and get it sold to Rubbermaid. And I thought, ah, I have found my people. This kind of people, these are the kind of circumstances I have to be involved in, yes. Which meant I could use coding, I could use the marketing skills that I went to school for, I could use all the different skill sets that I'd had and just bring them under one umbrella. And so I did that 4 times, and then I got sick, misdiagnosed, and nearly died while I was helping to build a pharma company. And realized
they slightly ironic, isn't it?
Right. Yes, exactly. I realized they didn't necessarily believe in pharmaceuticals, which is even more ironic.
You're in California, so you've got all sorts of different types of pharmaceuticals you can lay your hands on.
Yeah,
so.
That's right, exactly. And then I decided if I can build companies, I can heal myself. I didn't know that that was true, but I decided that that was true. I decided it. And so I created a system of using energy, which I didn't know what it was at the time. I just created a system of how this, a process, a systematized process that works again and again and again. And then people started saying, hey, you look really good. Can I hire you? And I thought, for what? Yes. Okay. Sure. And so people really just kind of came to me asking me for help.
Yes.
And then I was doing this about a year, and I had been teaching one of my clients was a professor at a college. And she said, I'm going to give you my class. And I said, for what? She says, meditation. I said, I don't know anything about meditation. She says, you taught me to meditate. You have to teach what you taught me. I have handed my class over to you, and I've actually given the dean your information. So it starts in 3 weeks on Tuesday at such and such time. And I was like, oh, okay. So a lot of these things just kept happening.
Yes, fantastic.
And fast forward, created audios and CDs and sold, you know, tens of thousands of those. And then a client said to me, do you understand that every time I come to you, I make a boatload of money? And I was like, what? She says, I need you to really hear me. She said, so-and-so, you know, a bunch of her friends that she, you know, had come see me and work with me. She said, we've all decided that you make us a lot of money. I said, what are you talking about? And just, so we had a conversation about it. And I thought, oh, people who do this kind of woo-wee intangible thing don't have the coding and the business background that I have. So that's pretty unique.
Yeah,
those don't usually go hand in hand. And so that's when it really became clear to me that, oh, I've helped sales organizations grow because of teaching them how to deal with energy in a sales conversation. I've helped company CEOs grow and find their conversation so that it's unique enough to them to get funded and so on. And it just, so I started having these epiphanies and started documenting it and then started processing it.
And I think you're right. It's the documentation, the systemization of these types of approaches is probably what's missing from a lot of the more emotional approaches.
Yeah.
And, you know, so a couple of success stories or real success stories that caught you by surprise. Is there anything that sort of springs to mind?
Yeah. This one of my favorite ones, the story every time I tell it, it blows my mind. His wife made him come to me. I was working with her. She was a senior VP of something or other, big organization. And he had a company that was a phone company. And she said, I'm sending my husband. He has shoulder pain. You need to fix it. And I was like, all right, sure. That's interesting. And turns out that his company was being sued by the Federal Trade Commission. And he had boatloads of lawyers and he was about to lose everything. Everything was in, you know, being held by the FTC. Everything was going to be taken away. And I said, well, I think we can solve this. I said, it's going to be weird. Trust me, it's going to be really weird how we solve this. But if you can do what I say, I think we can get this from a $1.8 million fine to like $180,000 fine. He said, all right, I'll do whatever you say.
Was that move to Mexico?
So we dealt with the shoulder pain. And we helped him identify who the attorneys were that were out of integrity. We helped him actually pivot the organization from kind of not doing cool things in tech with phones to actually being the phone system that is used to save lives today. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And I said to him one day, I said, so what's so different about you? And he said, I want you to understand that I did everything you said. And that's why I have a 50, now about to be $100 million company. This is why the clients have come, because you have taught me how to have each facet and deal with my emotions, deal with frustration, and help people to be themselves and put authenticity and integrity from me all the way down into my 400 employees. I said, oh, okay. And so that's one story that really blows my mind every time I tell it.
Well, and it is. And again, one of the challenges that you have is articulating something that is quite immeasurable in some respects. So what are the sort of typical pushbacks or objections, or what are the hardest things that you come across when you're trying to bring people on that necessarily may not have been introduced by someone you've already worked with?
So here's the interesting thing. People are looking for me.
Right.
This is what I've heard throughout my entire career of doing this. I have been looking for somebody just
not the
like
FTC,
you.
Presumably.
That's right. Not the FTC. And
different people,
I hear
yeah.
this again and again, and it's just like an email, or this woman, you know, a couple of weeks ago, she's like, oh my God, I have been looking for somebody who understands business and understands, you know, how I pray and use energy and the way I use it, and who can actually help me hold a big vision and a big mission and help me put the nuts and bolts together and make sure my body doesn't fall apart at the same time. And so generally, you know, the fascinating thing is people know that they need this. They just don't know that somebody like me who has them all working together go hand in hand in hand.
It's because there aren't that many people like you out there. I mean, it's not, this is an atypical approach.
That's right. It's a very atypical approach. And it's really, it shouldn't be atypical. It should be the norm, because we live our lives as, we have a bank account, and I consider a bank account a business, by the way. We have a bank account. We have human relations. We actually know how our body works. We live in it. We just don't know how it works really well because we're not paying attention. We're too much in the hurry, 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 rush, rush. We know when something's out of sync. We just don't know what to do about it. We don't have the tools. We know when we have a spidey sense, but we've been chained away from our intuitive hunches, right? So we actually don't know how to follow our true spidey senses. Mm-hmm. And we know a lot of these things. We just don't have somebody that helps us, you know, put them into the metrics and the puzzle so that it looks like a beautiful picture. And we live as a whole being, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, financially. And I don't come with skin in the game other than I want more conscious humans who know how to have more profitability, who want to do good in business, and who want to help a dang lot of people have an amazing life. And there aren't a lot of people that have that kind of MO. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Well, it's fascinating. And the great thing is you're not, you know, it's not a mass market business. So it is something that is, you know, very tailored, I would have thought, to each individual situation.
It is tailored, but it is all for me because of the way I have dealt with and experienced the energy thing. And I teach other people how to experience that. Just like the girl who has the Airbnb, you know, buckets is she didn't want to grow because she thought it was going to just take over her life. And I said, oh no, we're going to get more property. Oh no, we're going to have these all over the country, girl.
Yes.
She said, oh, and now she has several in different places.
Fantastic.
And so it's really about teaching somebody about their own energy and humanity and their own sensitivity and teaching them how not to break and how not to play into the psychology of society that society says you have to break.
Yes. And again, it's great advice for people that presumably more and more people spend time working outside of a collaborative environment because of, you know, the pandemic and more people are working from home and there's the great resignation. So, you know, there are more and more pressures on people to dig deep and find that strength from within themselves because they haven't got mm-hmm. the support of colleagues at the nearest water cooler. So do you find that in a post or a, you know, in a COVID world, that your requirements or people coming to you are asking for slightly different things than they would have done a few years ago?
Well, they want to know how to keep their immune system healthy. Everyone is on edge about that. Is the conversation on a regular basis. They want to make sure that they keep their immune system healthy, and they want to make sure that they can do that while growing their business. That is the, they go hand in hand.
Yeah. Who'd have thought that? Yes.
Yeah.
My primary requirement is I need a strong immune system. You know, normally it would be like, please fill my bank account, because that's then right. Everything magically works. You know, right. I think the immune system is directly proportionate to the amount of money you have in your bank. I think there's a direct correlation between the two.
Absolutely. There was a gentleman a long time ago, and there were two companies. There was PayPal and his company, and they were head to head. And he had made some bad hires. And his health was a wreck. I didn't know his health was a wreck. We were just dealing with the bad hires and the different stuff in the organization and his money being held in overseas accounts and not being released, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, one day he said something about his health. And I thought, tell me what? Tell me more. Oh, this. Oh, I can't walk. Oh, this is going on. Oh, this is going on. This. Okay. Oh, okay. We're now going to work on your health, and everything in your whole business is going to turn around. Ended up letting go of the management team. All the funds got released, and he and his son decided that they were going to let PayPal do their thing, and they were going to go off in another direction with tech that they had. And look, PayPal's PayPal, and they're them.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, fantastic and great stories. And, you know, I think now might be a good time to change gear slightly, Siobhan, and
okay.
leap into our Hooked on Startups quick fire questionnaire that I've stolen.
Okay.
From the chap that ran the James Lipton, I think his name was. So James, sorry, I know you're not around, but if you're, it was great. And Proust, I think, or Proust or whoever. I don't know why I'm warbling on about this. It just says it at the bottom. I thought I'd remind people every now and then. Anyway, question number one, Siobhan, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word, grace.
Fantastic. And question two, what is your least favorite word?
H-A-T-E.
You can say it. This is a family-friendly show. That's right. But all right, question number seven may prevent problems. We may provide problems for you if you're having difficulty saying the word hate. We'll come on to that. Question three, what are you most excited about right now?
Oh, what am I most excited about? Oh, we started a SaaS company that are helping small businesses. So SaaS and marketing agency. So I've been most excited about that lately.
And question four, what turns you off right now?
People not upholding their own integrity to their own values.
And my next question, number five, what sound or noise do you love?
Sound or noise? Well, that'd probably be silence. But no, I would probably say it would be trees, giant trees.
Whistling in the wind.
Kind of, you know, that like the gentle wind of the trees. You know, moving slightly.
They're actually, according to Enid Blyton, who wrote The Magic Faraway Tree, amongst other books, that is the sound of trees whispering to each other.
That makes sense.
In case people didn't know that.
Go hug a tree. It's always good.
Whispering trees. Yeah. Question number six. What sound or noise do you hate?
You know, those leaf blower things?
Yes. Every morning, 8 a.m. everywhere. Yeah. A familiar sound, the dawn chorus.
It's deplorable.
Yeah, but at least you get Sundays off anyway, in most cases. Yeah. Now, question seven, where you may plead the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution. What is your favorite curse word?
Oh, yeah, I plead the Fifth. I kind of don't really have one.
You can just go, That's what some people do.
You know, I'll do something. You know, people think I'm just so weird, but oh my God, that's so silly. That's kind of how I curse.
But I feel that sentence is so rich with irony that it is, it's using words like knives there, Siobhan.
Yeah.
Question eight, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I don't know that I have a profession, but okay. Let's see, to be a painter.
And what profession would you not like to attempt?
No idea. Something that is you know, that would hurt somebody. I think that would be, yeah, something that would hurt another human. Yeah, not good for me.
And my final question then, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Ooh, fun question. Probably something like with Matthew McConaughey voice going, yeah, all right, all right, all right.
God is a woman. I told you. Yes. Fabulous, Sean. Thank you so much. How do people find out more about you, get in touch with you, and find out how you can show them something that they probably never dreamt of seeing?
Yeah, thanks. SheveonMoran.com, SheveonMoran.com. Or you could go check out our YouTube channel, anywhere on social. And if you go to SheveonMoran.com, there's some assessments. There's an energetic business assessment that's kind of good to go through.
Sounds fun. Thank you so much for being a willing victim, a guest on Hooked on Startups. And I look forward to staying in touch and following your progress.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it.